in Siliguri when we are there,
Yes.
that they were that Guru is a servant of Mahaprabhu, and also he is the what you can say Prakash of Mahaprabhu. How both things are possible simultaneously,
Huh,
the manifest
what is this
Prabhu
again?
and Guru is manifestation of Mahaprabhu and also servant of Mahaprabhu.
Yes. And
Simultaneously is possible. How we can explain that?
as a servant and a manifestation.
Yeah.
Well, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a devotee of Krishna, huh? And he is also the incarnation of Krishna. Mahaprabhu was considered the most exalted servitor of Krishna. He came in that form as a devotee. Because who else can teach us how to serve Krishna than Krishna himself? Okay. The whole purpose of the incarnation is to revive our forgetfulness, our lost consciousness about how to serve Krishna and about Krishna, about how to serve him, to establish the principles of Dharma. So Mahaprabhu came strictly for that purpose, to teach to be a devotee. By being a devotee, you want to teach somebody something? By example is the best. What do they say? Example is better than precept. You want to teach somebody something, you do that. Like Guru Maharaj, Sridhar Maharaj told one time that story about one lady brought her son to Gurudev. And she asked Gurudev, "This my son here, he doesn't want to stop eating candy all the time. His teeth are becoming rotten and his health is becoming affected. And I don't know how to make him stop. Can you help?" Gurudev told, "Okay, you bring him back after 1 month and I will talk with him." All right, what could she do? She wanted him to stop immediately, but after 1 month she came back again. "All right, Gurudev, I brought my son now. Can you request him to stop?" So Gurudev brought that, sorry, that mother brought the son before Gurudev and he said, "Okay, I want you to stop eating candy." Immediately after that, that boy stopped eating candy. Then her mother said, "That's all it took, just telling him one time and then finished. Why didn't you do this 1 month ago?" And Gurudev told, "I had to stop eating candy first before I could tell him and it would be effective." So Acharya means who's teaching by his achar, his example, his behavior. And this is actual Acharya. We learn from seeing, from being in the association with and associating with the devotees. We learn what does it mean to be a devotee. Not just by reading books or hearing some lecture. It's not sufficient. We need a living example, what it means. And they found, if you put a child in front of the television and don't give him any human contact, and from the television the behavior of the people on the screen, he would learn how to talk and all these things supposedly. But they found that if you do that without giving the human contact to the child, he won't learn how to talk or anything. Even though people on the screen are talking and doing different things, the child won't learn those social skills just by watching the television. He has to be in actual contact with other human beings to learn how to be properly socially adjusted properly. So this sadhu sangha, this is a recommended process in the scripture. Sadhu sangha, most central fundamental principle of making spiritual progress, not just by reading book. If everyone could read books, then they wouldn't have to go to college and school, all these things, where they're actually put into a circumstance where they have to learn to utilize those things that they're hearing from the teacher. And the teacher has some realization about those subjects and makes it much easier for the students to understand by hearing from the teacher, who is able to filter and digest all that knowledge and present it in a concise form so that the students can understand it. That's one thing. But at the same time, they're also learning a certain socialization skills by being with the other students. How to get along with others outside of your family. You see, when a child is growing up, he has only his family, immediate family and extended family to associate with, and they have a certain sense of security in that environment. But not only are we members of a family, we are also members of a city, and that city is also part of a state, and that state is also part of a nation. So how to adjust your quality of understanding to these different levels of generality? That's also required. And you can't learn that by simply remaining within one environment and not being exposed to the others. So like that, the living example, the living situation that is required to actually get proper realization, actualization or realization. It means it has to be in a real way, not just a theoretical way. So like that, the incarnation of God comes not only as the incarnation of God, but how to teach us, ordinary human beings, how to live, to give example to us. That is a real significance of Mahaprabhu's appearance. Otherwise, without that, some problem here with the connection Sushin Prabhu is having. That real connection with Krishna that is required. That real connection with Mahaprabhu that was required to understand the reality of devotional service and how to do that properly. What is real devotion? What does real devotion to Krishna look like? About the intricate nuances of what is genuine devotion. Otherwise, we see in this world there are so many persons in the devotional guise, devotional garb, and apparently practicing devotion. But how much of that can we understand is a genuine devotion that is actually pleasing to Krishna? Anyone can practice religion. So many different types of religion. There are people that are going out and terrorizing others in the name of religion. Is that religion? Do they have so much dedication to God that if you don't accept what they're teaching, then they kill you? Is that pleasing to God? Is that really pleasing to Him? Or they're going and various things. We won't mention all the details. We know so many ways that people say they are serving God, but it's really only their own conception or misconception that is directing them. So Krishna has to come himself to show what is pleasing to him, what is actually pleasing to him. He comes himself. He wants to be happy. Sometimes, if you want to be happy, you have to tell people how to make you happy. Right? If somebody is doing something and you don't like it, you'll try to stop them and say, no, I don't like that. You want to make me happy, you have to do this. Krishna also takes that form. Mahaprabhu came in that purpose. He is coming as the perfect devotee, although he is Krishna himself. So there's no contradiction. No contradiction. Acharya mam vijaniyat. It is said in the scripture, know the acharya to be my very self. Not only does Krishna come directly as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us what does it mean to be a devotee, good devotee, a genuine devotee, but even in the form of Acharya Dev. We have to understand this is Krishna's special mercy. Acharya should not be conceived as an ordinary person, an ordinary man. From the higher inspired position of Gurudev, we have to see that Krishna is coming down to us, coming in the form, sending us Gurudev, just to take us back to our proper position, establish us in our constitutional position again. Acharya Dev has to be seen in that position. Is my voice okay now, Mati?
Yes, Father.
Mati is getting some difficulty hearing. Okay. Any other question? Is that answer sufficient? Well, Sushin is not connected now. He lost his connection. In Calcutta, the energy is like that. Electricity is going on and off arbitrarily. Any other question? Yeah. If you don't have mic, you can type something in the chat box. Yesterday I went to Philadelphia, one devotee came over to see me and he wanted to take me to Rath Yatra in Philadelphia. So we went, I haven't been there. Last year he also took me there. Got to meet some of my god brothers. Very nice. All original disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Anuttama Prabhu and not that GBC Anuttama, not that one, not that GBC Anuttama, but the original Anuttama from Prabhupada's time. He joined the movement when he was 17 years old. And he was such a fixed up devotee, 17-year-old boy. He came and joined Prabhupada and he used to go to his high school with his dhoti and tilak. In those days, going with dhoti and tilak to high school, I mean, even today, a young man goes to school like that, and he will be subject to ridicule. But not him. He was going so fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Such a wonderful Vaishnav. And no one could say anything to him. He was so much respected. No one dared to speak against him. Or no one had that desire to even do that. They had so much admiration for him. A really wonderful soul. And it's always been like that. My good fortune to know such a soul. All life I've known him and always remember him. And he was an extremely good friend. You may know Sitanath. He was an extremely good friend of Swarup Damodar Maharaj. His wife, Tulsi Devi, took initiation from Swarup Damodar Maharaj. And he used to stay there when Maharaj would go to Maryland. He would stay with that Anuttam Prabhu. And Shravanananda Prabhu also took initiation in Anuttam's backyard from Swarup Damodar Maharaj. So they have a very good, close relationship because he is always a very nice devotee. Anyhow, I met him, and also Pancharatna Prabhu. Vajradhana is also a very old devotee, Srila Prabhupada. He was working for a long time in the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. Still is working with them. So, no questions. Everyone is fully satisfied, full understanding of everything. All right. Then we'll start another book. I think what we'll do is we'll read, I wanted to read the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, one of my favorite books of Srila Prabhupada. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Whole summary of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, is found in this book. This was originally written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He had compiled the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and Srila Prabhupada did a similar thing here. I don't know how much he was actually translating from Bhaktivinoda's work, how much was actually from his own writing. But they are connected, no doubt. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So I've sent you the link to the preface, and we can start from there. Let's offer obeisances to Gurudev. Om Agina Timirandasya Inanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Guru Dev, Srila Charya Dev ki jai. Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Sitanath Prabhu, maybe you can mute your microphone so we don't hear the talking in the background. I know you are very busy. But if you... Haribol, Sitanath? Sitanath Prabhu? He is in his office. Let's see. So there is no difference between the teachings of Lord Chaitanya presented here in this book and the teachings of Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya are practical demonstrations of Lord Krishna's teachings. All right, we have another participant. Haribol Braja Gopal Prabhu.
Dhanavad Maharaj.
Dhanavad. Lord Krishna's ultimate... Oh, we're reading Today we're reading from Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Starting with the preface. Lord Krishna's, in the first paragraph, Lord Krishna's ultimate instruction in Bhagavad Gita is that everyone should surrender unto him. Lord Krishna. Krishna promises to take immediate charge of such surrendered soul. The Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is already in charge of the maintenance of his creation by virtue of his plenary expansion, Kshiradakshai Vishnu. But this maintenance is not direct. However, when the Lord says that he takes charge of his pure devotees, sorry, another request for joining. Haribol Tripad Prabhu. Dhanavats Prabhu. We're reading from Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. I sent the link in the first paragraph. However, when the Lord says that he takes charge of his pure devotee, he actually takes direct charge. A pure devotee is a soul who is forever surrendered to the Lord, just as a child is surrendered to its parents or an animal to its master. In the surrendering process, one should, one, accept things favorable for discharging devotional service, two, reject things unfavorable, three, believe firmly in the Lord's protection, four, feel exclusively dependent on the mercy of the Lord, five, have no interest separate from the interests of the Lord, and six, always feel oneself meek and humble. These are the six processes of surrender given by Rupa Goswami. Now, let's see, maybe you can help me with reading. Jonathan Prabhu, would you like to continue reading?
Maharaj,
starting
with the second paragraph.
Yes, Prabhu.
The Lord demands that one surrender unto him by following these six guidelines. But the unintelligent so-called scholars of the world misunderstand these demands and urge the general mass of people to reject them. At the conclusion of the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna directly says, "Engage your mind always in thinking of me, offer obeisances and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me." Bhagavad Gita 9.34. However, the scholarly demons misguide the masses of people by directing them to the impersonal, unmanifest, eternal, unborn truth rather than the personality of Godhead. The impersonalist Mayavadi philosophers do not accept that the ultimate aspect of the absolute truth is the supreme personality of Godhead. If one desires to understand the sun as it is, one must first face the sunshine, then the sun globe, and after entering into...
Hello,
Haribol Prabhu, can you mute your microphone? Then we are reading from Lord Chaitanya's teachings.
Haribol?
Yes, can you mute your microphone? Yes, so we don't hear the background talking. And then you can hear from... we're reading Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Do you have the link?
Yes, Mother.
You have the link? Okay. We're reading from there. Go ahead, Jonathan Prabhu, continue.
If one desires to understand the sun as it is, one must first face the sunshine, then the sun globe, and after entering into that globe, come face to face with the predominating deity of the sun. Due to a poor fund of knowledge, the Mayavadi philosophers cannot go beyond the Brahman effulgence, which may be compared to the sunshine. The Upanishads confirm that one has to penetrate the dazzling effulgence of Brahman before one can see the real face of the personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya therefore teaches direct worship of Lord Krishna, who appeared as the foster child of the king of Raja. He also suggests that the place known as Vrindavan is as good as Lord Krishna himself, because there is no difference between the name, quality, form, pastimes, entourage, and paraphernalia of Lord Krishna and Lord Krishna himself. That is the absolute nature of the absolute truth. Lord Chaitanya also recommended that the highest mode of worship in the highest perfectional stage is the method practiced by the damsels of Raj. These damsels, gopis or cowherd girls, simply love Krishna without a motive for material or spiritual gain. Chaitanya also recommended Srimad Bhagavatam as the spotless narration of transcendental knowledge, and he pointed out that the highest goal in human life is to develop unalloyed love for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya's teachings are identical to those given by Lord Kapila, the original founder of Sankhya Yoga, the Sankhya system of philosophy. This authorized system of yoga recommends meditation on the transcendental form of the Lord. There is no question of meditating on something void or impersonal. One can meditate on the transcendental form of Lord Vishnu even without practicing involved sitting postures. Such meditation is called perfect samadhi. This perfect samadhi is verified at the end of the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Lord Krishna says, "And of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all." Bhagavad Gita 6.47. Lord Chaitanya instructed the mass of people in the Sankhya philosophy of Achintya Bhedaveda Tattva, which maintains that the Supreme Lord is simultaneously one with and different from his creation. Lord Chaitanya taught this philosophy through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. He taught that the holy name of the Lord is the sound incarnation of the Lord, and that since the Lord is the absolute whole, there is no difference between his holy name and his transcendental form. Thus, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can directly associate with the Supreme Lord by sound vibration. As one practices this sound vibration, he passes through three stages of development: the offensive stage, the clearing stage, and the transcendental stage. In the offensive stage, one may desire all kinds of material happiness, but in the second stage, one becomes clear of all material contamination. When one is situated on the transcendental stage, he attains the most coveted position, the stage of loving God. Lord Chaitanya taught that this is the highest stage of perfection for human beings. Yoga practice is essentially meant for controlling the senses.
One second, Prabhu.
Yes.
Seems the devotees are having some difficulty hearing your voice.
I can hear.
You can hear, okay. Mati, what's going on? Is there? I can hear okay also. Maybe there's something. Are you using a wireless connection? Mati? You can talk to us, Mati. Huh? They're not using wireless, all right. Yes. Yes?
No, I'm not using wireless. I'm on the regular desktop.
Oh. Yes, your voice is coming out okay also without breaking up. I don't know why Jonathan's breaking up for you. We're all hearing him okay, I think. A little bit breaking for you also, Chupac.
I'm going to log off and come back on and see what happens.
Oh, I think it's okay. Your voice is okay. You can hear everyone else okay. There's some problem with Jonathan Prabhu's connection, perhaps. All right. Jonathan, you finish reading, and then we'll go to this paragraph, then we'll go to someone else and see how that works, okay?
Very good, Maharaj. Yoga practice is essentially meant for controlling the senses. The central controlling factor of all the senses is the mind. Therefore, one first has to practice controlling the mind by engaging it in Krishna consciousness. The gross activities of the mind are expressed through the external senses, either for the acquiring of knowledge or the functioning of the senses in accordance to the will. The subtle activities of the mind are thinking, feeling, and willing, in accordance to one's consciousness, the individual is either polluted or clear. If one's mind is fixed on Krishna, his name, quality, form, pastimes, entourage, and paraphernalia, all one's activities, both subtle and gross, become favorable. The Bhagavad Gita's process of purifying consciousness is the process of fixing one's mind on Krishna by talking of his transcendental activities, cleansing his temple, going to his temple, seeing the beautiful transcendental form of the Lord nicely decorated, hearing his transcendental glories, tasting food offered to him, associating with his devotees, smelling the flowers and tulsi leaves offered to him, engaging in activities for the Lord's interests, etc. No one can bring the activities of the mind and senses to a stop, but one can purify these activities through a change in consciousness. This change is indicated in Bhagavad Gita when Krishna tells Arjuna of the knowledge of yoga whereby one can work without fruitive results. O son of Pritha, when you act by such intelligence, you can free yourself from the bondage of works. Bhagavad Gita 2.39. A human being is sometimes restricted in sense gratification due to certain circumstances such as disease, etc. But this is not the prescription. Without knowing the actual process by which the mind and senses can be controlled, less intelligent men either try to stop the mind and senses by force, or they give in to them and are carried away by the waves of sense gratification.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Now, let's see. John doesn't have a microphone, and Galindi doesn't have a mic. So then, Brajagopal, would you like to read?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Thank you.
The regulative principles and the rules of yoga, the various sitting postures and breathing exercises performed in an attempt to withdraw one's senses from the sense objects are methods meant for those who are too much engrossed in the bodily conception of life. The intelligent man who is situated in Krishna consciousness does not try to forcibly stop his senses from acting. Rather, he engages his senses in the service of Krishna. No one can stop a child from playing by leaving him inactive. A child can be stopped from engaging in nonsense by being engaged in superior activities. The forceful restraint of sense activities by the eight principles of yoga is recommended for inferior men. Being engaged in the superior activities of Krishna consciousness, superior men naturally retire from the inferior activities of material existence. In this way, Lord Chaitanya teaches the science of Krishna consciousness. That science is absolute. Dry mental speculators try to restrain themselves from material attachment. But it is generally found that the mind is too strong to be controlled and that it drags them down to sensual activities. A person in Krishna consciousness does not run this risk. One has to engage his mind and senses in Krishna conscious activities. And Lord Chaitanya teaches one how to do this in practice. Before accepting sannyasa, the renounced order, Lord Chaitanya was known as Vishvambara. The word Vishvambara refers to one who maintains the entire universe and who leads all living entities. This maintainer and the leader appeared as Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya to give humanity these sublime teachings. Lord Chaitanya is the ideal teacher of life's prime necessities. He is the most munificent bestower of love of Krishna. He is the complete reservoir of all mercies and good fortune. As is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata, and the Upanishads, he is the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. And he is worshipable by everyone in this age of disagreement. Everyone can join in his Sankirtana movement. No previous qualification is necessary. Just by following his teachings, anyone can become a perfect human being. If one is fortunate enough to be attracted by his future, one is sure to be successful in one's life mission. In other words, those who are interested in attaining spiritual existence can be easily relieved from the clutches of Maya by the grace of Lord Chaitanya. These teachings presented in this book are non-different from the Lord. Being engrossed in the material body, the conditioned soul increases the pages of history by all kinds of material activities. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya can help human society stop such unnecessary and temporary activities. By these teachings, humanity can be elevated to the topmost platform of spiritual activity. These spiritual activities actually begin after liberation from material bondage. Such liberated activities in Krishna consciousness constitute the goal of human perfection. The false prestige one acquires by attempting to dominate material nature is illusory. Illuminating knowledge can be acquired from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and by such knowledge one can advance in spiritual existence. Everyone has to suffer or enjoy the fruits of his activity. No one can check the laws of material nature which govern such things. As long as one is engaged in fruitive activity, he is sure to be baffled in an attempt to attain the ultimate goal of life. I sincerely hope that by understanding the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, human society will experience a new light of spiritual life, which will open the field of activity for the pure soul. Om Tat Sat. Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami.
Thank you, Guru.
Thanks, Maharaj.
1968, this was written. One of the very first books that Prabhupada wrote, a very important book. All right. And then we go to the next page. It's a prologue. Wait a minute. Yes. Who do we have here? Let's see. Mati, would you like to read? You're getting disconnected several times. Is everything okay there? Mati? We can't hear you. Huh?
This controversy appeared in a short work by Srila
Prabhupada. You have to speak a little louder.
Hare Krishna?
Yes, you have to speak a little louder.
Hare Krishna?
Haribol, can you hear? Oh, she's having a problem with her connection today.
I can hear.
You can hear, yes. Something. Mati is having some problem with her connection somehow. All right. Tripad Prabhu, would you like to read? Tripad? Are you able to read?
Maharaj.
Yes? Can you read?
Maharaj.
Yes, okay. Mati, we're having a problem with your connection. So we're asking Tripad to read. Dad, you start reading, Dad. Tripad, you can start reading. Haribol, Tripad?
Shall I read, Maharaj?
Oh, yes, it's okay. Mati seems to be having a problem with her connection. You can read.
Sorry,
it's okay. Yes, it's all right. Next time. Somehow. Go ahead, Tripad Prabhu.
Yes, Maharaj. By Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this work by Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur entitled Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, His Life and Precepts, August 20th, 1896. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born in Mayapur in the town of Nadia just after sunset on the evening of the 23rd Falguna, 1407. Answering to the 18th of February, 1486 of Christian era. The moon was eclipsed at the time of his birth, and the people of Nadia were then engaged, as was usual on such occasions, in bathing in the Bhagirathi with loud cheers of Haribol. His father Jagannath Mishra, a poor Brahmana of the Vedic order, and his mother Sachi Devi, a model good woman, both descended from residing in Silhet. Mahaprabhu was a beautiful child and the ladies of the town came to see him with presents. His mother's father, Pandita Nilambara Chakravarti, a renowned astrologer, foretold that the child would be a great personage in time, and he therefore gave him the name Vishwambhara. The ladies of the neighborhood styled him Gaurahari on account of his golden complexion, and his mother called him Nimai on account of the Nimba tree near which he was born. Beautiful as the lad was, everyone heartily loved to see him every day. As he grew up, he became a whimsical and frolicsome lad. After his fifth year, he was admitted into a Pathshala, where he picked up Bengali in a very short time. Most of his contemporary biographers have mentioned certain anecdotes regarding Chaitanya, which are simple records of his early miracles. It is said that when he was an infant in his mother's arms, he wept continually, and when the neighboring ladies cried Haribol, he used to stop. Thus, there was a continuation of the utterance of Haribol in the house, foreshadowing the future mission of the hero. It has also been stated that when his mother once gave him sweetmeats to eat, he ate clay instead of the food. His mother asking for the reason, he stated that as every sweetmeat was nothing but clay transformed, he could eat clay as well. His mother, who was also the consort of Pandita, explained that every article in a special state was adapted to a special use. Earth, while in the state of a jug, could be used as a water pot, but in the state of a brick, such a use was not possible. Clay, therefore, in the form of sweetmeats was usable as food, but clay in its other states was not. The lad was convinced and admitted his stupidity in eating clay and agreed to avoid the mistake in future. Another miraculous act has been related. It is said that a Brahmana on pilgrimage became a guest in his house, cooked food and read grace with meditation upon Krishna. In the meantime, the lad came and ate up the cooked rice. The Brahmana, astonished at the lad's act, cooked again at the request of Jagannath Mishra. The lad again ate up the cooked rice while the Brahmana was offering the rice to Krishna with meditation. The Brahmana was persuaded to cook for the third time. This time all the inmates of the house had fallen asleep, and the lad showed himself as Krishna to the traveler and blessed him. The Brahmana was then lost in ecstasy at the appearance of the object of his worship. It has also been stated that two thieves stole away the lad from his father's door with a view to purloin his jewels and gave him sweetmeats on the way. The lad exercised his illusory energy and deceived the thieves back towards his own house. The thieves, for fear of detection, left the boy there and fled. Another miraculous act that has been described is the lad's demanding and getting from Hiranya and Jagadisha all the offerings they had collected for worshipping Krishna on the day of Ekadashi. When only 4 years of age, he sat on rejected cooking pots, which were considered unholy by his mother. He explained to his mother that there was no question of holiness and unholiness as regards earthen pots thrown away after the cooking was over. These anecdotes relate to his tender age up to the fifth year.
Okay, thank you, Prabhu.
In his eighth...
We can let someone else read. Let's see. Who else? Anyone else like to read? I've not read yet. Madhupriya. Madhupriya Devi, would you like to read?
Okay.
Thank you.
In his eighth year, he was admitted into the Tala of Gangadas Pandita in Ganganagar, close by the village of Mayapur. In 2 years, he became well-read in Sanskrit grammar and rhetoric. His readings after that were of the nature of self-study in his own house, where he had found all important books belonging to his father, who was a pandit himself. It appears that he read the Smriti in his own study and the Nyaya also, in competition with his friends, who were then studying under the celebrated Pandita Raghunath Shiromani. Now, after the 10th year of his age, Chaitanya became a passable scholar in grammar, rhetoric, the Smriti, and the Nyaya. It was after this that his elder brother Vishwarup left his house and accepted the ashram status of a sannyasi ascetic.